Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Getting proper veterinary care is a must for healthy pets. But is a mobile vet right for your family? Dr. Dawn Filos has been a veterinarian for over 30 years and shares the highs and lows of veterinary medicine and being a mobile veterinarian in her new book called Tales of a Pet Vet. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Dawn, start by telling us, what are the benefits of a mobile veterinary practice?
Well, in comparison to a brick and mortar conventional practice, I think it's a question of quality versus quantity. And while I worked for 20 years in regular practices, you know, on average, you're scheduled for about 15 minutes per appointment. You get interrupted with phone calls and emergencies, and sometimes things get backed up and people are waiting, pets are unhappy, and I don't have that issue. You know, you're limited as a house call practitioner to the hours in the day, and I think that not only is it an advantage that you have all these visual clues, you see the pet in the home, but you really have an opportunity, I find, to be a better listener to the client, to observe the pet, where things happen, you know, and it enables me to be an even better vet, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Do you specialize in any particular pets or type of veterinary medicine?
So I don't specialize. You know, we veterinarians, most veterinarians are like me. We graduate and are not required to do residencies to specialize in, say, surgery or cardiology. We're a lot like GPs or internists. But that said, I do a lot of I do mainly dogs and cats, but in the book and Tales of a Pet that I talk about, that was not always the case. And I've had a lot of variety with snakes and lizards and birds. Mainly, I work with dogs and cats now. And I also do quite a bit of behavior by nature of the house calls. We have a lot of anxiety-riddled pets that do better at home. We see a lot of dermatology as veterinarians, and I saw quite a bit of hospice and did a lot of in-home euthanasias with the house call practice. It was a large percentage of my patients.
What are the rarest animals you've cared for?
Always remember I was at a brick and mortar and the animal control people came in with a red-tailed hawk that we were asked to try to x-ray to see. They thought he might have had a fracture. So, you know, it was our job to figure out how to do that without those incredible long talons clawing us. And, you know, they're very strong and fast, but they're frail and they're lightweight. So to keep both of us safe while figuring it out. And we did, and it was memorable. And in the book, I have a really entertaining story with a snake that had pneumonia. And that was just a crazy day. And it ended well in the end. So I'm happy to repeat it.
That's always a good thing to hear.
Yeah.
What are some of the reasons for the rising cost of veterinary care?
Well, good question. So I think there's like four main reasons, I would say, in my opinion. So the majority, and you may notice this, that most practices are now owned by corporations and their bottom line is profit. And so prices have changed for that reason. And another, on the flip side, veterinarians who were managing their practices, mostly themselves, were undercharging for years or not keeping up with inflation. So there's been some noticeable increases. A third reason is there are more medical, surgical, there's so many more options that we can treat our pets with, that maybe were not available many years ago. But along with all of these newer technologies and medications and treatments, it comes with prices. But we can offer it, and if the client is willing or interested. And another very important aspect of all of this is we are more dependent in general on these well-trained veterinary nurses and technicians who are an extra set of eyes, ears, and hands on our pets. They're monitoring anesthesia and so forth. So you pay more, but you get more. So we have double the manpower in the hospital, for example. So along with that, there's more fees for salary, but I believe that we are able to do more and get better maintenance and monitoring of our patients. So it does come along with some extra costs.
I'm speaking with mobile veterinarian Dr. Dawn Filos, author of the new book called Tales of a Pet Vet. What advice would you offer to pet parents?
So I would say there's about four things that I find myself advising, and these would be my tips. One, learn to effectively communicate with your veterinarian, because you are there to concisely and clearly express to us what you're seeing when we are not there. And that will better enable us when people come in and, Buster, my dog is sick as a dog. You know, it's kind of funny, but it's like, I'm going to need a little more information. Another thing I think is vital is pet insurance in this day and age. You know, hearkening back to your question about cost, it's better. And when you have pet insurance, your decisions hopefully are whether or not you're going to do something recommended or are based on the medical recommendation as opposed to it, can I afford it? Hopefully your budget for the insurance. Another thing really important is I try to have pet parents know what is physically normal in their pets, because then you can recognize what's abnormal and act sooner than later and appropriately before it escalates. And the last is about senior pets. You know, there's so much that we can do to increase the quality of their life, not just the quantity. Don't write them off. We say age is not a disease, but we really cognitive and physical and arthritis, all sorts of products over the counter and ways that you can sort of modify their environment to really make them comfortable in their senior years. And that's important to me and to the veterinary profession in general. I think we've gotten better at really managing these patients.
How should someone start a conversation with or talk to their vet?
I mean, I think that it's very important to be honest about, like, here's the deal. You know, if they're thinking of getting a pet, let's say you're consulting, you might say, I work 10 hours a day. I love dogs. I need to find a breed that will work for me, or I'm good with cats, or I'm not good with cats. And they might guide you towards a particular breed or species. It's important to say, listen, I'm not going to be able to give medication three times a day. Let's pick another therapy. It doesn't matter. You know, you should be comfortable enough with your vet to say, this is my reality. How can you work with me? I love my pet. This is what I can afford. This is what I'm able to do. And everybody benefits, and ultimately the pet benefits. And I really hope that everyone finds a vet who they love and trust, and because that's a relationship that can often extend the entire life of your pet, and it's important to pick the right one. There's a lot of great vets out there, and if you're not comfortable, then you need to find another and stick with them.
Why do you say pet insurance is a must?
Because of all these costs, it is a way to put aside money for when you're paying your deductible and have some peace of mind that if an emergency occurs, or a catastrophic surgery or some point, you have a resource to help pay for it. But it also, like I was saying, can help you, like you're not sitting there deciding whether I should do physical therapy or the cruciate surgery because of money. Money comes into it, but it's sometimes easier, in my opinion. We have insurance. We know that we will be paid back depending upon the plan that you have, for the decision that we make, not based on money, or at least not exclusively. And because then, you know, sometimes if you don't and you make one decision and live to regret it, which I've seen happen based on finances, then that's just going to make everyone feel bad. And I have a blog, Dr. Dawn, the Pet Vet, and I have several articles about what questions to ask to pick the right plan, because some are, for example, focus on will pay for alternative medical treatments like acupuncture and some don't. And there's a lot of variation within that field, you know, and making choices. And it's a good idea to try to educate yourself before you select it. But definitely, I think in this day and age, it's going to be a large part of treatment moving forward. So I make sure clients know about it.
I'm speaking with mobile veterinarian Dr. Dawn Fillows, author of the new book called Tales of a Pet Vet. What should pet parents know about older pets?
I often hear people say, oh, he's just old. That's why he doesn't move around, or that's why he sleeps a lot. But I want people to not stop there. I want them to say, well, why is he sleeping more? Why does he take so long to get up from bed? What can I do about it? How to give nutraceuticals or pain meds? There's lots of different advances in medicine that are helping with osteoarthritis, for example, in our senior dogs and cats. How to recognize cognitive disorder, sort of like older pet dementia, and how to live with that and manage it and keep them comfortable and stress-free. How to recognize anxiety and address it before it escalates. Sometimes it will present in behavioral issues. Sometimes it will present as disease. How to really get to know your pet and then see the changes and act accordingly. And see with a senior pet, I recommend at least 2 times a year to see your veterinarian, because things sort of happen quickly in the senior years. So we don't want to miss disease that might be popping up that we can address earlier and more effectively.
And how do we recognize what's normal and not normal in our pets?
I taught some pet first aid classes, and so I think it's look at your dog's behavior at rest. I always would show people during these classes, this is what the gums look like normally. They feel this damp. They're this color. This is a normal heart rate at rest. You know, this is abnormal. This is a normal breathing rate for a dog or a cat. If you see a cat panting and it's not hot and they didn't just run around and chase a squirrel, your vet needs to know about it. So the more that you are familiar with normal behavior and physical findings in your pet, the sooner you'll pick up something that might not be right. And maybe it's fine, but best to intervene. And I always say, err on the side of caution. Pick up the phone, maybe telemedicine, make sure it's okay. And if it isn't, you're on it. It's better to act on a Friday with something suspicious than to wait until a Monday morning, and then it's snowballed into a much bigger problem that might have been addressed and fixed 3 days sooner. So don't be neurotic and super concerned, but if you're familiar with normals, you will more easily pick up what's not normal, and it will become second nature.
What are some of the shifts that you're seeing in pet ownership today?
I'd say I probably have 4 main shifts that I've seen through my career. One, worldwide, not just in the U.S., there are just more pets. We have more households with pets, more pets in each household. The younger people that are delaying having families are living with pets earlier, and then they have children and so forth. So we're seeing a lot of that, more pets and kind of a different population of pet parents. More people are adopting from shelters, which is great. We have more no-kill shelters. But along with that comes sometimes physical, like illness or emotional baggage. And I am really heartened to see pet parents, people that are adopting, willing and able to work with those pets and do right by them. And so we see a lot of pet behaviorists very, very busy for that reason. But people are taking the time to work with, and I love that, because they see them as a family member or a substitute for family. And so along with that, people want to be the best pet parent they can. And so they come to people like me, and they like to educate themselves and be able to give them all the best veterinary care. And number 4, be able to pamper them. I mean, it's unbelievable the options, and it's really kind of amazing and fun to me to see all the options, like the outfits and clothing that you can get for pets 30 years ago. It's like unheard of. Some of these pet resorts that I've worked with are, I mean, who's getting the better vacation, you know, the dog or me? Some of the accommodations are just out there and really great. And why not? I mean, how can we not want to give this to these perfect, unconditional, loving pets? So I've seen that shift, and people treat them as well, if not better, some of their human children who talk back. And, you know, why wouldn't we? So I'm always interested in seeing that. It's fascinating to me.
You mentioned that as part of your mobile veterinary practice, you did in-home euthanasia. What are the benefits of that?
So the benefit of it, you know, I had done it once when I was in practice. I'm in a brick and mortar and I'm like, that's it. It was a game changer. I didn't even know that I would be comfortable doing it until I actually did it. And it's important to educate people that it's an option because it's the final most loving gift I think that you can give to this pet that has given so much to you with them in your lives. That's just, you know, they're in their own home. They're comfortable. It's not loud, well lit, smelly, not in a car ride. You're there with them. It's a dignified, peaceful, beautiful gift to give these pets at the end of life. And when it's the right time and I do it to spare them of inevitable suffering, I feel good about being able to do that. It's an important decision to make and come to that decision, but when it is the right time, I am glad to be able to intervene. You have to plan. Sometimes life doesn't work out that you can plan, but I spend a lot of my day trying to communicate what to look for, how to determine when it's time, how to determine maybe clues that they're suffering more than you know. I have questionnaires and I have people try to involve the family. So everyone makes this emotional decision with like an objective questionnaire that helps them think with their heads, not with their heart. And I've found that to be very helpful.
Why is it so important to spay and neuter our pets?
So I think it's very important. Some of the research is a bit different in terms of male dogs, but, you know, for male dogs that you're not breeding and once they're full grown, you know, it can prevent them from some behavioral issues that might be more present with the hormones or tendency to wander, run away. And we had a dog, wasn't yet neutered, and he ran away when I was a child and he was hit by a car. And certainly there's other ways to avoid that, but sometimes that's helpful. Females spaying before the first heat is about 90% decrease, more than 90% decrease chances of breast cancer that we see dogs and cats, and some other diseases, if they remain intact, they can get life-threatening infections of the uterus, for example. So behavioral and physical benefits come along with doing that, particularly for females. The males, they're saying it is probably, we're learning with certain specific breed studies and with time how it might be better to wait longer with males for different reasons. Females, I always spay my female dogs before their first heat. I don't breed them, so that is a non-issue for me and for most people.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I've been speaking with mobile veterinarian Dr. Dawn Filos, author of the new book called Tales of a Pet Vet. How would you like us to get your book?
It's available really anywhere that books are sold. There's independent bookshops that may carry it online, so you can find it on Amazon and all the other sites. But it is available in paperback, ebook, and an audio book, which was really fun making. And so I look forward to getting feedback on how people are liking it. And I hope that your listeners will read it and enjoy it.
We are looking forward to reading it. Thank you so much for talking with us today. And thank you for all that you do to help our furry friends.
Oh, thanks for saying that. And thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.